name be glorified once again. We could come together to study God's precious word. Remember our topic, I don't need to remind you, it's there already on the screen. I think of going fast, but I'm not able to go fast. I try my best, but somehow I go very slow. And so you remember in our last study from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 7, this is what we considered. Paul's prayer in 2 Corinthians. What is that? So you remember in our study, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 7, we have seen there Paul's prayer in verse 7. I pray that you do no evil. That shows Paul reminding us of our vulnerability, that we are prone to sin, we are prone to fail, that we cannot just ignore it. We need to be aware that there may be an opportunity, chance to fail. When something happens, don't be disturbed. It's natural. At the same time, our responsibility is to overcome, because we have the resources. God has given us the resources to live a victorious Christian life. What are those resources? Basically, the Spirit of God inside, the Word of God in our hands, and the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding for us in glory. And the second prayer point is, you may do what is honorable. You may do what is honorable. Not enough to be away from evil, but we need to live an honorable life. Our life should be respectable or beautiful. Our life should be honorable before God and before man. And there also there's a possibility to fail. That's why Paul is praying. At the same time, God is able to help us in our effort to lead a honorable life. And then we have seen in the end, it should begin from our heart. It should begin from our thoughts. We need to learn it. We need to practice it. By nature, we fail. These are the things we have considered. In verse 9, there is one more prayer. But before we go there, I told you that day, there is, twice Paul says in verse 7. What is that? You see, look in your Bible, verse 7. Not that we should appear approved. Again he says, though we may seem disqualified. Now what does it mean? Now in between Paul's instruction or Paul's prayer for them, that you do no evil and you live in an honorable manner, then he says, it's not that we may be approved. Even if we are disqualified, we want you to be to lead a holy life. Now what does it mean? What is the idea there? It's not that we should appear approved. Now, when we study the book of Corinthians, whether it is 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, there was so much problem in Corinth assembly. One of the problems actually created by the visiting teachers, visiting false teachers. These visiting false teachers instigated or, they tried to give a wrong idea about Apostle Paul in the minds of the Corinthian believers. So they told them, how is he an apostle? Is Paul an apostle? Have he seen Christ? Have he seen Christ? No. So they were trying to say that Paul is not a really authorized apostle. And many reasons you can see in 2 Corinthians, so many things they were accusing about him. And one thing they found, he doesn't take any financial assistance from Corinth Church, the assembly. They said, because he knows that. He is not worth for that. If he is a genuine apostle, he will surely take. Just like a quality doctor or a specialist will charge more, an ordinary doctor will charge less. So Paul doesn't take anything at all. So there is nothing of quality in him. So they were trying to say that Paul has no value as an apostle or a teacher. Now that is the issue in Corinth, one of the issues in the book of 2 Corinthians. Paul, there are certain places are there. Am I not an apostle? He's asking them. So it is in this connection he is saying here, I don't tell you to obey us because we want to show our authority. And when you fail, we will have an opportunity to discipline you, or we will have an opportunity to show that we are apostles. So Paul says, don't fear us. Don't think that we are trying to impose any authority on you. Don't think that we want to be approved by you. Whether you approve it or not, whether in your approval we are disqualified or not, we are not worried about that. Our prayer for you is, whatever may happen to us, you may. Not listening. You may. This one. You may do no wrong. Not to approve Paul. Not to obey Paul. Whether you obey Paul, you appreciate the quality of Paul or the apostleship of Paul or not, you do no wrong. You do no evil. And you live in an honorable manner. So that is the idea there. In verse 7, twice he says, see in verse 8 also, we can do nothing against truth but for the truth. It's not there. It's only a little bit of the balance of our last study. We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Paul's commitment to the word of God, Paul's commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul's commitment to the saints, the people of God. Whatever may happen to him, he has no self-interest in his prayer. He has no self-interest in his prayers for the Corinthian believers. So that is the idea there. Paul says, it's not that we should appear approved. Is it clear to you? That much is clear? Now that verse 8 also is very interesting, meaningful. You know, we can do nothing against the truth. Okay, let me go very fast to the third point. Third point that we find in verse 9. What is the third prayer point? You tell me. Let me see who will say that. What is the third prayer point in verse 9? We are glad when we are weak. Okay, that also. You are strong. This also we pray. That you may. Very clear, no? You may be made complete. You may be made complete. Now what is the idea there? Now that is little bit confusion may be there. What does it mean? You may be made complete. See, if you read in another translation, maybe, see, J.N. Darby says, I think in King James Version also that is the way, that is the word used. This also we pray for your perfecting. And in ESV it is, your restoration is what we pray for. So, complete, perfection, restoration, three words, are there. Now the idea, actually forget about the original word, but just it is there. See, this is the, you remember last week I told you, this is the only place this term is found. I made a mistake last week. Actually, this is the word, or the word used for perfecting or restoration is a very special word. That's the first one. How to pronounce it? Maybe kataratis, kataratis. Forget about that. And that word is used only here, and that is coming from the second word. Clear to you? Confusion? Again? Now we are trying to see what does it mean by complete, perfection, or Other word? Restoration. Now it's a very special word. It's only once used there. But that word comes from the second word that has been used in many other places. And the meaning is to complete thoroughly, to repair, mend, perfect, restore. No different ideas are there. So what Apostle Paul says there? What is the prayer point of Apostle Paul? What is the point? You may be complete means the idea is actually it is restoration, or the idea is to fix something that has been broken. Now something is broken. Okay? In out of order. It may be restored. It may be fixed. It may be repaired. So that is the idea there. Paul's prayer for them is, you may be complete. You may be restored. You may be in order. You may be restored. You may, you may fix all the disorderly things in order. No disorder, but there should be order. That is the idea there, Apostle Paul. Now, if you remember the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. You see, in the beginning of that letter, Paul writes it. You remember that? It's there. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you may be perfectly joined together. That is the same word. Same word means the second word. Perfectly joined together. Restored. No disorder. Now, perfectly joined together, referring to a body, different, body, the joints have been dislocated. So what happens? Dislocation of joints, what happens? When there is, whether it is in a body, whether it is in an assembly, whether it is in a building, whether it is in an individual personal life, disorder, dislocation, nothing is in order. What kind of life it is? Nothing is in order. What kind of life it is? It's chaotic. It's confusion. If it's in a body, it's painful. It's unhealthy. No proper function. In the assembly, if there is disorder, no proper function. Unhealthy. No joy. Painful. In the body, it's painful. In individual life also, it can take place. Disorder. No order. Now, Apostle Paul's prayer is, my prayer for you, that you may be. Now, actually, we need to go back to the context, background of the book of Corinthians. But I'm not going to that area. Corinthian assembly had so many problems. We are not going to that aspect. But Paul says, you may be in order or restored. Now, three ideas we get there. First one already there. Disorder is possible. Now, that's why Apostle Paul is praying, the reason why Paul is praying for the assembly at Corinth is, there is a possibility, of course, in Corinth already there is disorder. It can happen in a family. It can happen in an assembly. It can happen even in the personal life. Now, we need to remember that such disorder can take place in anybody's life, whether it is personal life or family life or even assembly life. Now, if we are not aware about it, again, when some kind of tension takes place, we'll be. Help me, at least help me. We'll be disturbed. Now, you are going for a work, for a journey, for example. You need to expect some disruptions, If you think that everything will be okay, then you will not be able to face it. in our personal life, family life, assembly life. Expect disorder. It can happen. Doesn't mean it should happen. It can happen. That we need to remember. That's why Apostle Paul's prayer is for Corinthians that there should not be, you may be restored. At the same time, that prayer also shows, what is that? In verse 11, it is very clearly mentioned. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Aim perfection. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete in NKJV, or in some other translation, be perfect or aim restoration, ESV. Aim restoration. Our aim should not be disorderly life. Our effort is to lead a perfect life or orderly life, restored life, because disorderly life is not at all desirable, whether it is in the family or in the assembly or in personal life. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Apostle Paul writes that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, the end of that chapter, that all things be done decently and in order. Okay, I don't need to explain further. Now, one more idea Apostle Paul's prayer gives us, that it's my prayer that you may be restored, you may be in order, you may be complete. That means disorder may happen, disorder may take place, disorder may be possible, and we need to aim for order, restoration, and Paul's prayer shows that we will get the help of the Lord, and we need the help of the Lord to be complete and perfect, to lead an orderly life, a perfect life, no disorder. We need the help of the Lord. You see, few verses from the Bible. Psalm 37. Well-known verse it is. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let's see a few verses more. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I'm sure another well-known verse it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for righteousness and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Perfect. So the word of God helps us. One more verse. 1 Peter 5:10. Peter reminding the suffering Christians. He says there in 1 Peter 5:10. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So Paul, Peter, comforting, encouraging the suffering Christians that God will comfort you. Now you are going through difficult life, but one day the Lord will complete it, perfect it, restore you, establish you. And it is God who is able to establish us. We may face disruptions, we may face disorderly things in our life, but God is able to help us to lead restored, perfect life. And that's what Apostle Paul is praying for the Corinthian Christians, that you may do no wrong, that you may do what is honorable, and that you may be perfect or restored. And in all these matters, we are helpless, but the grace of God is available, and we only need to come to the Lord in prayer. That much only about. Now we are coming from last week. You know, we are completing the portion of our last week's study. So now where do we see the next prayer? You also try, think about it, tell me. In Galatians, we have any prayer? No, I think there's no prayer. That common prayer is there, of course. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That we have already seen some other portion. I think the next prayer, and that is the major prayer that normally we all consider as Apostle Paul's prayer. That is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. It's a long passage. We shall see very much little today. Okay, that's another prayer of Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. We'll not read the whole passage. Let's see a few verses. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay, that's enough now. Up to 19 it is there, even up beyond that. Now you tell me how many prayer points and what are those prayer points? No prayer point? What is the main point for which Paul is praying? I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for those saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is the point? Try at least. G? Yes? Okay. That is in verse 18. No, end of verse 17. The Lord may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Any other prayer point? Only one? Okay, thank you, brother. You are also from the same team. Wonderful. Okay. The eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Any other prayer point? Yeah. And when you go from verse 18, there are so many other things also. You may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches and so on. Now I think there is only one prayer point. What is that one prayer point? The summary of all these things. More increased knowledge of when we consider the whole passage in Saramsh, in summary, Paul's intention or Paul's prayer is Ephesian believers may have more knowledge of God's word. But he says it in two aspects. The main theme is increased spiritual knowledge. But there is in two different methods he presents it. That is, you may have spirit of wisdom and revelation. And the same thing he says in a different manner. Your eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Both are same, I think. But anyway, we shall see those things one by one. First of all, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then we will consider the enlightened eyes or the enlightened heart or understanding. Now what does it mean by spirit of wisdom and revelation? Notice carefully that verse. Again, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Okay. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge, we'll see later. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now what does it mean? What is the idea? Spirit, which spirit? The Lord may give you more of the Spirit of God. That God's Holy Spirit may be filled in you. That God's Holy Spirit may help you. Is it the meaning? Which spirit it is? Now that is not about the Spirit of God. Is it about the Spirit of God? Notice again that verse. The Lord may give you the Spirit. See, in your Bible itself, it's there. The S is in small letter. So that is not about the Holy Spirit. Is it correct? And another reason in chapter 1:14, already Apostle Paul explained, 13 and 14, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. So every Christian possessing the Holy Spirit. So it's not about the Holy Spirit. No doubt, you know. There's no doubt. It's not about the Holy Spirit. And what about the Spirit of man? We have a spirit, you know, man spirit. Holy Spirit is there. Human spirit, no, our spirit is there. Now, is it about our spirit? God may give you a spirit. The Bible says, and we understand, we also have the spirit already within us. Spirit possessing us, man as a man. Now, what is the idea there? What should be the idea there? It's not about the Holy Spirit. It's not about human spirit. Then what is the idea? Maybe we shall see one reference, you know, in Matthew's Gospel 5:3. In Matthew's Gospel 5:3, there is another expression the Lord Jesus says there in that Beatitudes. You know, what does he say there in Matthew 5:3? Blessed. Yeah, I look into your Bible and say, there is a special power when we look into the Bible. And read, you know, 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, that is the idea. What is this poor in spirit? We all know that very well. Poor in spirit means, there the Lord Jesus refers to, poor in spirit means, no spirit. Yeah, spiritually poor. Now, that actually speaks of having an attitude of humility. An attitude of humility. That's spiritually poor means I have to acknowledge that I'm poor spiritually. I have a spirit. I have a mind. I have an attitude. I have a disposition. Or I have a mentality of thinking myself as what? Unworthy. Poor. If you carefully study that passage, you know, it's really interesting. There, that poor refers to not the two kinds of poverty is there. That's another topic actually. Two kinds of poverty is mentioned. Poor widow is there who had two coins. But poor Lazarus is there who had nothing. So a poor beggar is there. And there is a poor who has got something. So a poor, there is a poverty where who have got something. There's a poor person where he got nothing at all. So that is the word used there. Two words are there. These two words are used in two different idea. And here the word is referring to a beggar poor. A poor who is a beggar who got nothing at all. So who will admit that I have nothing. So there the Lord Jesus speaks of a spirit or a mind or an attitude of humility. Accepting, acknowledging I have nothing to boast. I have nothing to claim. And that is the same idea Paul refers here. You need to have a spirit of wisdom means you need to have an attitude. have a disposition, or you should have a, you know, an outlook of wisdom, not of ignorance. Your outlook, your mentality, or your attitude is not like a fool. I don't say that, the Bible says, we'll go there, not like a fool or ignorance, but like a wise man. See, in Ephesians chapter 5 itself, writer says how a Christian should be in connection with wisdom. You see Ephesians 5, 17. 15 and 17. 5:15 it is written there, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." 17, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Understand what the, do not be unwise, do not be fools. A believer, a Christian, should not be an ignorant person. He should be wise. He should have an attitude of wisdom. Or he should have a spirit of understanding. He should have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, wisdom and revelation. Revelation speaks of God's revealed will. And wisdom speaks of the practical application of it. So that is Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. God may give them a kind of attitude or spirit or mind towards wisdom. And along with that, he also prays that, he's praying there, next verse, verse 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Same thing in a different manner, he says. You should have wisdom, or you should have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then he says more, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Now there the word understanding, in some translation it is heart. The eyes of your heart, maybe. ESV it is heart. I don't know about King James Version, NKJV it is understanding. A heart got eyes. Now what is the idea there? Little hard, you know, it's very hard, it is very hard to understand. Now Paul's prayer for Christians or Ephesians, their eyes of their hearts may be enlightened. Now what does it mean by eyes of our heart? Which heart got an eye? Now what is heart? Which is this heart here? That also you know it very well, I'm sure, but at least somebody, these children, they may not know. Which is the heart there? Is it this heart which is here? Your heart may, your eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now two questions are there. Which is that heart? And do we have an eye for the heart? And Paul says, my prayer is your eyes of heart may be opened or enlightened. Which is this heart? Oh, tell me, please. Thank you, doctor. You are helping me. See, only when you stand here, you will know the difficulty at certain times, you know. You are expecting somebody to help you with a word. You need to stand here, then only you'll know it. Teachers know it. Now it speaks about the meaning, actually it is mind, or speaks of the seat of our emotion, intelligence, affection and so on. It's not about this heart, it speaks about the mind, the inner person, the inner man. Now there are so many verses in the Bible where we see the importance of this inner man or mind or heart. That well known verse, you know, it's Proverbs 4:23. The wise man says about the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it spring the issues of life. See, I'm not going to the details of it. The Bible says so much about our heart, which is the seat of our emotion or our understanding. It can be called mind, understanding, or heart, or inner man, whatever it is. Wise man says, and the Bible says, everything, 23, no? Out of it spring the issues of life. Everything come out of the heart, that mind, that inner man, that inner place. Now whatever you say, the idea is the mind or the heart or the inner man. Okay. Now the Lord Jesus said in Mark's Gospel, you know that 7:21, 7:23, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Then he says, all these come out of the mind and defile man. Our heart is the source of all evil. Everything is there. And in Luke's Gospel 6:45, the Lord says, the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. All that is in our heart or mind comes out through our words. Romans 10:10, Apostle Paul says, it is with the heart we believe. The heart is the mind, is the center of our faith or belief system also. Or our faith is also centered around our heart. And in Proverbs 23:7, you know Niti Vachan, yeah? The writer says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Means our heart or mind, our inner man, determines who we are. What we think about us. What is our idea? What is our thinking? What is our thinking pattern? Accordingly, our life will be. So the Bible says the heart is so essential, so important, that controls our life. And Apostle Paul says there in your mind, there in your heart, you have eyes. Understand? Just like we have two eyes by which we see around, similarly, you have a heart, you have an inner man, you have a mind that controls your life, that controls your entire spiritual life and even life. And that heart can see. That heart can see. And that heart should be enlightened. That eye should be enlightened. See, look at some other verses also. In Matthew's Gospel 13, Matthew's Gospel 13:13, the Lord Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now this is very clear. The Lord Jesus speaks of what kind of eyesight? Not this physical eyesight, no? They do not see, not about these eyes. They do not hear, not about this ear. No, the Lord Jesus repeatedly said, he who has an ear, let him. No, everybody got an ear. So there also the Lord referring to the ears of our heart. Our heart can see, our heart can hear, our heart can even touch also. Even smell, I'm not going to those verses. So Apostle Paul's prayer is, your heart, your inner man, your mind may be enlightened. Our mind or our heart may get more knowledge, more light, and it may be enlightened, our eyes may be opened. Now how is it possible? Is it clear? That much is clear? I'm trying to explain with much difficulty. It happens sometimes, you know, it's much difficulty only. Yesterday I spoke in Hindi. Monday I spoke in Hindi. Sunday I spoke in Hindi. Now you know that. So language and all those things are, you know, disturbing my wiring, that system is sometimes confused. Which language this man should speak? So Paul's prayer for Ephesians, my prayer is, God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. That means that actually that itself shows you may know more about the revelation of God. You may be able to apply those things in your life. You may know more about the things of God. And same thing in a different manner, he says, I pray that your heart may be enlightened. Your eyes of your heart may be opened. Now who can open? How is it possible that our mind will be enlightened? Who can give light to our inner man? Who can give? Tell me very quickly, 2-3 minutes more at least. Who can give light to the mind of a man? Can you give? Can Nelson give? No. The Bible says very clearly, no man can change the mind of another person. No man can give enlightenment to the other man, other person. In this, according to the Bible, our self-effort will fail. I cannot change another man. But the Bible says, see, we read in 1 Corinthians 2:10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to give all these references. 1 Corinthians chapter 2:10, we read, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So it is the Spirit of God who gives light to our mind. It is the work of the Holy Spirit who testifies to our spirit. We see in the book of Romans, in the book of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we see it is the work of the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit has to enlighten me. Holy Spirit will have to touch me, my inner man, and open my eyes to understand the things of God. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, don't forget, the context is up to 14, Paul explains the riches of a Christian, the wealth of a Christian, of a believer in Christ, what all the blessings we have in Christ, the spiritual blessings, you know, from verse 3 to 14. Therefore, he says, I pray that God may open your eyes to see that riches, that, you know, wealth you have in Jesus Christ. And that is possible only by the work of the Holy Spirit. So that is Paul's prayer. Now you remember in the Old Testament, Elisha prayed for Gehazi. What was the prayer? Lord, you opened the eyes of this man. What happened? Gehazi, one fine morning, he saw enemy soldiers surrounded the city. The Syrian army surrounded the city. He said, Elisha, the man of God, what are we going to do? Enemy is surrounding us. He said, don't worry, don't fear. Then he prayed, Lord, you opened the eyes of this Gehazi. And God opened the eyes of Gehazi, and so the army of God, we see that. And in the New Testament, when we see in Luke's Gospel 24:31, we read there, 24:31, the Lord Jesus with the two disciples on the Emmaus road, and finally we see the Lord opened their eyes. we need, Paul's prayer is, I pray, God open your eyes. God may open your mind so that you may see your wealth in Christ and precious things that has been stored for you, that you may remember. In Psalm 119, there is a prayer. Psalmist says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Now, I do not know your idea. There are many who have got different opinion, no doubt about it, but I personally feel God alone can teach you and me precious things. It is there in the Bible, no doubt. We don't need any new revelation. I don't say any new revelation is needed. Revelation is complete. Revelation is complete. But to see, it is written there. Everything is written there. But even as I read these things, it is the Spirit of God that gives me light to that passage, light to that portion, light to that idea there. I don't think by, because of my ability I can read the Bible and understand the message of God. It is the Spirit of God who enlightens our heart and mind. So that's why Apostle Paul is praying, I pray that God may give you a spirit of wisdom. You may have an attitude of, understanding. You have an understanding. You may be a person with understanding. You may be a person with wisdom and knowledge of the revelation of God. You should not be an ignorant person concerning the things of God. Don't be a fool concerning the things of God. And I pray that God may open your eyes and see the great things that God has done for you, or God has kept for us or given us. And that should be a prayer for us also. I'm going to stop here. We will see the result of an opened eyes later on. That is what we see in the following verse. That we shall see in our next study. What happens when our eyes are enlightened? The result, the consequences. But this much, you know, we need to pray for ourselves and even others, as Apostle Paul does. Lord, may open the eyes of our people. The Lord may open the eyes of myself, my own eyes. So as we open the Bible, as we go through the Word of God, that's why we need to pray. Prayerfully sit, prayerfully read, prayerfully meditate upon the Word of God, so that we may be able to see the things of God, and God may make it more clear to our life. So here we shall conclude, and may God help us that we may remember these prayer points of Apostle Paul, not to do evil, live an honorable life, and be perfect or restored, and then in from Ephesians, we may have a spirit of wisdom and enlightened heart, and God may help us that we may examine our spiritual understanding, how much do we understand the things of God? How much awareness we have about the various, you know, passages of the scripture or the doctrines? And how much we are aware of the riches that we have in Christ, the privileges that we have in Christ? And let us walk as wise men, not as fools, so not as ignorant, seeking the help of God day after day for an enlightened heart. May the Lord bless these words to us.